Always Hold On to Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Jordan Valdez, Tim Miller, Jazz Ed Maja, Chris Fuchs, Thomas Navin, Nathan McKenzie, Joe Mikindo, Trayvon Brady, Steve Rogers, Cameron Minard, Gavante Chillis, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Becca Zeifel, Adam Parker, Tom Gerke, and Eddie Bissell. Thank you so much to all these patrons, and you too can become a patron by visiting patreon.com/alwaysmallville with one S. Hope to see you there.
I'm Michael Rosenbaum, Lex Luthor, and always hold on to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. In this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore. This week, I'm joined by Nancy Petru. What's up, Nancy?
Hey there, Zach. Thanks for having me on. Not much is going on, except for this episode.
These episodes that you've been on. I value your perspective as a woman, right? Because we went to high school together,
you know? Yeah.
So you know the high school experience I had, and I know the high school experience you had.
Yes.
And so when there's certain episodes that try to capture the high school girl experience, you know,
yes,
these are the conversations that I enjoy having with you. So that is why you're on these episodes. So we're talking about Facade this week, and I tweeted it out just a few minutes before that we're recording this, because I just had to express my thoughts. Watch Facade tonight. It is by far the worst episode of Smallville so far in the series.
What an honor.
not to jump the gun, right? But this episode is a mess. And, you know, I think they had good intentions here.
Yes.
But whoa, is this thing offensive, I think. What about you, Nancy?
It is. It's offensive in a way that a show like that from the early 2000s could be. Right?
only a show from the early 2000s can be, right?
Right? Like.
Now, in Smallville, the official companion, season 4 by Craig Byrne, available wherever books are sold, writer Holly Harold had this to say. Kids can be victimized by their parents. Their parents try to live out their own dreams through their children. Plus, teenage plastic surgery is just such a huge and very controversial subject. Is it the right thing to do? Is it the wrong thing to do? It was a really fun topic to embrace, to try to figure out the ins and outs of the morality of that. And then she goes on to say, we've had to do many different kinds of shows on Smallville. We've done road rage and steroid rage and crazy people and homicidal killers. But the one that really touched a nerve was plastic surgery. There was a lot of discussion and debate, and at one point, the girl was getting revenge on the people who were mean to her in high school, but then that didn't seem very sympathetic. And then finally, she goes on to say, Chloe had a line that I love about, quote, the world is better to pretty people, unquote, which is very true in a horrible, sad way. Holly Harrell was the writer of this episode. I see what she's saying here, right? But
yes.
I also think to myself, is teenage plastic surgery that big of a epidemic?
Yeah, no, I did not. My first thought when that was presented in this episode, I was like, is this a thing that people do? I did not know that it was like, you know, rampant.
Yeah, and I get what they're saying about the mother, because I will give them this. That was an interesting angle, right?
Yes.
It wasn't the freak of the week on Smallville, like exacting revenge on the people that wronged them. They themselves identified that as a trope they had done too many times. So instead, they kind of had this controlling mom. And I got to say, the woman playing her mom, I'm not sure what the casting call goes out for that, where it's like, we need a woman that looks like she had maybe a little too much plastic surgery.
<You know>? Yes. Oh, my God. She also had some creepy, like, JonBenet Ramsey vibes, but that could have just been me. I don't know.
Now, exactly. And there's two deleted scenes in this episode. that are on the DVDs. One of them, it takes place at the beginning of the episode during the flashback to freshman year 2001, just in case you guys didn't remember. I love the double like subtitle there. It's like you can either say 2001 or you can say freshman year. I don't know why you have to say both. But anyway, moving on. I'll nitpick that in a second. There's a scene right before that, right before Abby puts on the mascot mask and runs off. Her mom's like trying to like fix her hair and tells her like, look, you got to try hard. And there's going to be a lot of pretty girls here, prettier than you. It's like kind of a pep talk, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, it's completely unnecessary because I think we learn all we need to know about those two in the episode itself. So that's one deleted scene. And then also we have two deleted scenes later, which I think actually at least one of them would have added a lot of sympathy towards the Abigail character, because one of them is Clark's telling Lois that he found Abby's necklace in the shower, which we see him do in the episode. Mm-hmm. That part could have been cut out, but then he goes and confronts her about it. Oh. And this is a really good scene because Clark talks to her about, you know, being different and coming back, and she's like, I thought you would understand. He's like, what do you mean? And she's like, well, I have plastic surgery, you have football. And it kind of like that kind of parallels there to journeys in this episode, or at least an attempt to, and at least I would admire the attempt there.
Yeah,
you know, yes. But they cut that out so we could have some shower making out and girl action. And I must say, like, I have a big problem. This episode is like the epitome of what I have the problem with the fourth season of this show. Right? It is so, and I'm gonna, and I've said this before, I don't know a better word for it. It's trashy. Because
I agree though. That's what I thought during like the shower, sexy, whatever that was. I was like, this is borderline trash.
the show was not like this the first 3 years. Like, I mean, even the way that the characters are dressing, right? Lana, I mean, she came back from Paris and stuff, but she's dressing like she just got home from Saks Fifth Avenue or something.
Yes.
And then you have Lois and Chloe wearing these like shirts that are showing off their belly button, right? It's like, this is not dress code. You know, in previous seasons, they didn't dress this way. And then and I don't know how I'm going to incorporate this in the counter. Like, I'm going to add a specific tally board for this. We are 4 episodes into season 4. There's been a shower scene in every episode. Okay? We had Lana taking a shower in Crusade. We had Clark taking a shower, and then Lois comes to the bathroom and gone. We had Lionel taking a shower we actually had Lionel taking a shower in God as well. So lots of showers in that episode. And this is the third episode of the fourth season, and there's been four showers so far. But as I'm saying, 4 shower scenes in 3 episodes, slow it down.
Yeah, that seems like a lot. And also, they managed to get Clark in a wet t-shirt. So, I mean, really, if you wanted to add that on there.
Something for everyone in this episode. So, anyway, it's just... And so, people love season 4. I know the listeners out there are like, I love season 4. And a lot of people got into the show season 4, and I understand that. But this episode is the epitome of why I don't like it. Plus Clark playing football, which is something we had addressed earlier in the show, moved on from. It's back now. So anyway, these are all the things on the table here. And plus Lex has like 2 scenes in this episode, which is a major problem. Like even bad episodes, when Lex is around, Lex subplots can save episodes. You know, Nancy, you were back on way back in Craving, right? And they had the subplot with Lex and the Meteor Ox and that kind of stuff. And that can help episodes that are weak in other areas. But when he didn't even show up till like 20 minutes in, I was like, is he not in? Michael Rosenbaum had an easy week, right? This week he showed up for a day of work. So anyway.
He just shows up at the hospital as usual. Yeah.
So those are all the factors we're dealing with in this episode. We'll get into it all here, but I just wanted to, we're on the same page here.
Yes.
So let's dissect this thing. Facade.
Hey, how's she doing?
She's pretty cut up. They gave her a sedative, but she keeps saying, don't let him see me, over and over again.
It's like some kind of breakdown.
When they brought Brett in, he was acting the same way. The only thing they can find in common is a spike in their serotonin levels.
Serotonin?
It's a brain chemical.
That LSD and hallucinogens mimic. It's also the word that Lois misspelled 3 times in her slander piece on extreme makeovers.
Yeah, well, Lana and Brett are hardly candidates for plastic surgery.
Yeah, but Abby was. Didn't Lana say she saw Brett with Abby right before he went crazy? Maybe this procedure made her more beast than beauty.
Facade is the third episode of Smallville's fourth season. It aired on October 6, 2004. It was written by Holly Harold and directed by Pat Williams. And Pat Williams, this is their second Smallville episode to direct, the second and final Smallville episode to direct, the first being Delete. So Delete is actually a really good episode. And the directors really, the directors, they just kind of pull an episode out of the hat. So I'm not going to say this is why they never came back. So Pat, you did great work on Delete. This episode is not your fault. I blame you, Holly Harold. Although Holly Harold has a great Smallville resume, so you never know. And it sounds like she had a good, again, she's come from a good place, but let's get into it here. So episode starts out freshman year 2001, right? So again, we double establish what it is, which I think is excessive, but that's fine. As if Whitney being a member of the football team wouldn't have been sign enough that we're in a flashback, right? So a very unexpected, I never expected to see him again, huh?
Okay, I wondered about that. I actually had to go look that up to see if he was still supposed to be there or not.
It's like, did I miss something? But yeah, so you know, in Smallville, the official companion season four, Greg Beeman, director producer of the show, had this to say about the flashback. Quote, "We had a lot of hair issues and wardrobe issues in season one, especially for the first five or six episodes. About halfway through season one, we got the right team and we started to be happier with the hair. So when we suddenly had a flashback to that time, Miles and Al were in on the joke and were supportive of it. And we decided, let's go to the bad hairstyles. Let's go to the bad clothes. Let's call all that back. It was a very conscious effort." And, they, you know, I will say they did a good job of replicating season one Clark and Lana.
Yes.
We see the kryptonite necklace back, which was nice. And we see Clark in his, like, sweater and his bad hair. And, of course, we see Eric Johnson back as Whitney Thorburn for the last time. He doesn't come back after this. He's kind of like the, I would say he was kind of like the Tommy Merlin of Favreau to Smallville. But Tommy Merlin and Colin O'Donnell has been used. Chris O'Donnell. Anyway, he's been used to much better effect on Arrow since his character died in season one. Spoilers. So, I criticize the show a lot. I think the name we decided on was a Trevor, you know, like,
yeah,
hey, Trevor, like, you've been in our class the whole time. What's up? You know, these freaks of the week, you know, that come up and it's like junior, senior year. Like, all right, I've been watching the show for 3-4 years. I've never seen this person before. Right.
Yeah. Not even in the background.
I enjoyed the conceit of here's a flashback showing where this person came from. So they don't just come out of nowhere. What did you think about that as a story device?
Yeah. I mean, so far I have not seen that. So that seemed at least helpful, right? Like, oh, okay, they're trying to establish that this person does exist. They're not just like the magical locker next to Clark or whatever.
She comes out there as the mascot, right? Well, you don't see her at first, right? Although in this deleted scene you would have, so I'm kind of glad they kind of deleted that and you had her reveal when they ripped the mask off. Man, are Smallville High School football players just the biggest jerks in the world?
Oh my God, I know. I think I wrote down, like, I quoted one of them. They're like, we always torture the mascot. It's tradition. What? Are you serious? Like,
as everyone will recall, Clark got beat up, an S painted on his chest, stripped down to his underwear, and put in a cornfield in the pilot episode of this show, because that's another tradition of the Smallville football team. So this is the worst football team, like the meanest.
Seriously.
It's like, did this really happen? To have two awful traditions like that? Anyway, these people are all horrible. And hopefully Clark will do something about it when he becomes quarterback of the football team this season. Oh, wait, they don't address any of this ever again. Anyway.
I'm not surprised.
So the mascot comes out. She's dressed up like a crow. Hey, go crows, go crows, go crows. And what they do is they rip the mascot's head off, and it's poor Abigail, and she has some really bad acne. What did you think about this?
I was like, okay, is she going to actually be ugly, or is it going to be makeup? Like, which one is it? So I kind of enjoyed not knowing until the mask came off. But then I think what did they call it? Okay, so it took me until about 15 minutes into the episode to realize that they were saying Scabby Abby. I couldn't quite understand. I didn't have the subtitles on either. That's so mean.
it rhymes, so I get why they would do that. But to have like a whole crowd of people at a pep rally start cheering that.
My other thing was, I was like, why is Clark just watching this happen? I feel like I always complain about this. He just sort of sits by and these things happen, or he will half-heartedly try to stop it.
See, that's the key. They show him. He's like, hey, leave her alone. And then he kind of just looks down. And Lana, like, looks down. They all look kind of embarrassed, but nobody really, like,
right?
Steps up. It's like, look, guys, they almost tried something. It always reminds me of, like, that. I don't know, I've heard this commercial on the radio. I've sure seen on TV where it's like, remember how many times you drove by the food bank and thought about donating food?
Oh my God, yes.
But you didn't? What if everyone thought that way? It's like, that's exactly what our heroes are doing here, right? So, and I will say, Allison Mack is not in this scene. I think she just grew up a lot. Like, her appearance of early season one is very different than season four here. Yeah. So that they couldn't really kind of, I mean, because she was very young when the show was filming. Kristen Kirk is some kind of vampire. She doesn't age. So
yes,
that
is.
Really wasn't a problem. And then, you know, missed opportunity one here for Pete. Sam Jones III left at the end of season three. Could have brought him back here for a scene, right? There's several instances in season four where he could have come back. And I mean, if they brought back Eric Johnson, who hadn't been on the show in 2 years and was only a series regular for one, I would have thought they could have brought back Sam Jones III maybe for just one scene. So anyway, enough about that. That's our season one flashback. So that was, it was a nice kind of different thing to do.
Yes.
And then so, you know, Abby runs away, looks at herself in a car window reflection. Then we fade into a 3D scan of her face. And then her mom expositions to us her great plastic surgery breakthrough here, right?
Yes. Yes, I wrote down, Abigail is in a lab with her creepy hot mom.
Creepy hot mom.
Because she's got that crazy glint going on, you know, and she's in like the, it looks like a Bond villain's lair.
Yeah, exactly. Doesn't look like a plastic surgeon's office, no.
No, it doesn't.
Julianne Christie plays the creepy hot mom. Dr. Dr. Fine. Right. Now, she was actually in an episode of The Flash recently. She was also in an episode of Lucifer. She was in an episode of Star Trek Voyager and Star Trek Enterprise. She was also in The Nutty Professor and in Encino Man. So she's a working actress.
Okay.
So good for her. But you're absolutely right. The creepy hot mom. and she again, like I said earlier, she has that look where it's like, it's not bad plastic surgery because it does look, I mean, you can't see the scars like you can on, like, I think of, like, actresses like, you know, Courtney Cox for a while when she had too much work done. It's like, what did you do, Courtney? What did you do to yourself?
Yes.
That's finally kind of faded away and she looks kind of normal again.
Right.
You can tell Dr. Fine has had some work done here.
Yeah, this lady was going towards, like, Joan Rivers.
Yeah, exactly. That's a name I was looking for, Joan Rivers. Exactly. So yeah. We see that Her Abby is kind of laying on this table and she's like, is this going to make me beautiful? You know, it's all the dialogue you would assume happens in this scene.
Right.
And then they drop down this like Egyptian torture chamber of needles.
I called it a scientific Iron Maiden.
yes. Very good. Very good.
It totally is though. You're right. I'm like, wow, really? That's what she's supposed to. Okay. I guess pain is, or beauty is pain.
Because it took her mom 3 years to conceive of this treatment. So that's how we know 3 years have passed, right? I'm surprised it didn't like fade to senior year, 2004. But
I was expecting it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So then the needles like go into her skin.
Right. And she didn't scream. And I was like, what's wrong with this picture? Because I was expecting that.
Yeah. I was expecting the, and then that somebody save me. But no, it just kind of passively lets this stuff, you know,
so
go
creepy
into her face. So anyway, something's going to change with her. We go to the open credits. We come back and we have Clark imagining that he's playing football. He's a football star and he hears an announcer in his head and he's the quarterback. And then he catches his own pass and he's very happy about it. And he makes a touchdown for the quote meteors, although it's been established that the Metropolis Sharks are the football team. So maybe Metropolis has two football teams. But traditionally, I thought the meteors was the baseball team. But enough about that. So what's your deal? What's your take on Superman in high school, Clark Kent, playing football? Because in Superman the movie, it was a big deal where he couldn't play and he felt bad about it. But his dad told him, look, you're here for a reason and it's not to score touchdowns. And I'm like, that's right. I agree. Smallville had another mediocre episode in season one called Hothead where Clark tries out for the football team and then ultimately decides, you know what? I'm not here to score touchdowns, you know. I'm here for better things, right? A very mature attitude. I'm like, good. And then we move past that. And that was like 3 years ago, right?
That's what you thought anyway.
I thought, right? But it's season four, and they're running out of ideas. And they're like, you know what? Let's have Clark play football. And I do not agree with this. What's your take on a superpowered teenager playing high school sports, Nancy?
You know, what's interesting about that is, like, it's sort of addressed later on in the episode. I wasn't sure if they were going to. I thought Pa Kent was just going to be disapproving. However, then he like actually gave reasons for why, like, it's a slippery slope. You shouldn't do it because you'll want to win, and that's natural for you to want to win, but then it's not fair to everyone else. And I was like, oh, exactly. Like, that absolutely makes sense. Plus, it, I mean, I don't know. That sucks for him, but if that's your life, you, I don't know. I'm with you. I can't really defend his actions. He's like, I just want what you had, or whatever he said. I just wanted to reach through the screen and be like, honey, it's just football.
Senior
it's
year, Dad.
Just a game. Like, your life is more than senior year, I promise.
So this is another major problem I have with season four, right? It's like, this is it. This is a subplot for half this season. It's Clark playing football. And Clark, you know, it's like, I don't, like, maybe it's because I'm a nerd and I was in band and stuff, right? But I'm like, I don't relate to this, you know? And like,
oh,
this.
No, me neither.
This is Clark Kent, right? The whole point is he's not supposed to be cool. Like, and they, yes. Like, it's bad enough that it's 6'4 Adonis Tom Welling, right? And you're trying to make me believe that he's some kind of social outcast, right?
Right.
But then to have him be the star of the football team. No, I don't like this plot line. So there you go. So moving on from that, though, Lois comes in and she sees that he's like, you know, practicing football.
Yeah.
She's like, well, when's your first game? He's like, I'm not on the team. She's like, oh, wow. I thought an arm like that would have been a get out of geek free card, which is funny.
That's when it occurred to me that this was obviously Lois Lane. It took me a second. I'm like, I don't know this lady. Which one is she? And I was just like watching, and the way they were interacting, I'm like, this seems like a Lois Lane type thing. And then the Humvee drives up with Dad, I assume.
Michael Ironside is her dad.
Yeah.
And he's a famous character actor. You've seen him in things like Total Recall. My favorite Michael Ironside appearance, because it was so unexpected, was in Terminator Salvation. And he's like the leader of the human resistance before John Connor takes over. He's kind of John Connor's boss. And I remember a couple of funny comments about this, because Michael Ironside, this is his last scene in Smallville for 7 years, or excuse me, 6 years. So I need to say this now, or I'll never get a chance to for a while. One, I remember my dad was telling me, like, when he saw Terminator Salvation for the first time, he was like, my God, is that Jack Nicholson? Michael Ironside has like slowly morphed into Jack Nicholson.
That's sort of true.
No. Right? And then some of the lines, Lance and I will say this to each other sometimes, like some of the lines he has in Terminator Salvation are like, commits bombing of Skynet. It's just like, why are you in this movie? So anyway.
Oh, okay. I don't think I remembered his name, but I definitely recognized him.
Yeah, he's one of those guys. He's a character actor. He's been in all kinds of stuff. But he shows up to tell Lois she's late for her Met You orientation, right? But he tells her that Metropolis, you yanked her acceptance because she failed the last semester of high school. And this is idiotic. I was talking last week to Craig Byrne about this.
Yeah.
And this is a terrible plot line, because Lois Lane needs to like have her S together, be older, be more mature, you know, and this is where it starts. This is where they make Lois like the butt of jokes and the comic relief. And I mean, it works. Like, I enjoy what she's doing on the show, right? In a vacuum. But this is Lois Lane we're talking about. Are you telling me that she failed high school?
Yeah, I was amazed. I wrote, I do not buy that Lois Lane is a bad student. Right. Yeah, no.
And also, it's a huge continuity problem, because back in season one, there was an episode near the end where Chloe was going to go visit her cousin in college, right? So that would have made Lois about three or four years older than them, right? And then even in the last episode, Nancy, and Gone, the last episode, they're talking, and I mentioned this, they're talking in our podcast, they're talking in her dad's office, and she says her mom died when she was six, and that it had been 15 years, which would have made Lois 21, which would have made her a junior or senior in college, would have tracked with what we knew from before, right? And she would have been a lot older. But initially, Lois was only supposed to be in the show like two episodes. Like, that was the deal with Warner Brothers, because Superman Returns was coming out, and Warner Brothers doesn't understand that I have multiple versions of characters on screen at the same time. They freak out about it. They don't know how to deal with it. So they were like, no, you can have Lois, but like for two episodes. So like, okay. So they wrote these two episodes, and I guess they didn't think about, like, by the time WB said you can have her for a couple more, they're like, oh, okay, what could we do? let's put her in high school. It's like, no, no, because now she was going to go to college orientation, which means she would have been a freshman, which means she's only a year older than these guys, which makes sense if she's going to be hanging around, but it doesn't track with anything else we know of Lois. And personally, I like it when Lois is older and has her, you know, life together and is a lot more mature than Clark. So,
no, I completely agree. I wasn't buying that.
So there's my rant. I had to get that out of my system because that's
I had a feeling that you would have an opinion about that.
Well, I have a problem with Lois on this show for a lot of reasons because, like, and I'll get to it later, like, they basically, Chloe was Lois, and now Lois is here, but yes. Lois can't be Lois because Chloe is Lois, so they kind of, like, split up everything. Like, everything Lois did in this episode, and there's a scene where I realize this is what should have happened. Like, Lois could have been not in this episode, and Chloe could have done all those things, and it would not have changed anything.
Right? Exactly.
Speaking of Chloe and Lois, they drive to high school, and Lois is in a Mustang convertible, which is a nice car for her, huh?
Right? I was just like, okay, so Dad's firm with you, but he buys you everything.
And here's another thing, right? They get out of the car, and they're talking about Lois needs 5 credits, right? And Chloe's like, how are you going to get 5 credits in one semester without doing extracurricular? Because she wants her to join the torch, right? Now, I don't like how Chloe is the one that gets Lois onto journalism. It should have been the other way around. It should have been Lois Lane, you know, college journalism student, right? Influences her younger cousin Chloe to get into journalism, right? But they actually, you know, back in Delete, actually, which Pat Williams also directed, they established that Chloe had a cousin named Lois who wasn't interested in journalism, and that's why she used her name as a pseudonym, which is why everyone thought Chloe was going to be Lois Lane, which would have been a much better twist and plot line and reveal.
Alas, it was not.
But anyway, I've been talking a lot about this because this is season 4. I've had a lot of pent-up feelings about all this stuff.
Absolutely.
This, as you can tell, right? I've opinionated, Nancy. Did you know this? So there you go. I will say it now. I completely disagree and have major issues with the setup of this entire season, right? So now we can continue with the episode discussion.
Well, this episode really does not, will not make you feel better, obviously.
No, exactly.
And those feelings, it will really only just reinforce them.
And here's the thing, right? So as I said, right, Chloe has to tell Lois to be into journalism, and she's like, oh, the last thing I want to be is a journalist, right? What's your take on prequel stories and their obsession with saying, oh, hey, you know how they're this in the future? Well, that's not what they want to be when they're younger. Like, is that not a really annoying trope?
It is, and I feel like it was tired even then. Like, wheel out the dead horse. Oh, of course. She's like I'm never going to touch a computer, my little iMac in the torch. Like, and the entire episode is like Chloe trying to like cajole her into doing it.
Yeah, it's not a clever writing twist when it's like, hey, this thing that you know this character for, they didn't want to be that thing at all. Yeah, okay, that's true. That happens a lot in life with people.
Right.
But it's kind of like the exception that proves the rule. It's not like, if you don't like something right now, 10 years from now, you're going to be doing that thing, and you're going to love that thing, and you're going to be so good at that thing. It's like, that's not how life works. So that's like a prequel problem. As you said, it was tired even then in the early 2000s. But so we finally get in the hallways. I've been ranting
again,
so much.
Again, what time is it, right? What time is it?
Yeah, so we're in the school now, right? and then we have our... new hot girl montage, right? With her. What did you think of this, right? This is so cliche.
Oh, I was like, the bad music immediately playing. This was the first time that I thought to myself, this is like slightly trashy.
Yes.
That was the first also bad fanfic, but mostly trashy.
You can be like, ooh, check out the new girl, right? And it's all the same jocks that were making fun of her.
Right.
3 years ago. And but she says hello to Clark because Clark was not in her face mean to her. He was passively complacent. He wasn't actively complacent in her making fun of her, right?
Exactly.
He goes up to her and they kind of talk about the change and all that, right? And
in an awkward way.
Yeah. She's like, yeah, this old locker is going to be the only thing that's the same. And Clark's like, well, that shouldn't be a problem or something like that.
Yeah,
so.
some stupid thing. And of course, that conversation was as awkward as it probably would be in real life if anybody dared to say things like that to someone else. Hey, you're not as ugly now. What gives? What happened?
This is the classic, like, look, you take off the glasses and you put her hair down. It doesn't help that she's wearing some kind of, like, sundress to school either, does it?
Oh my God, I wrote down, I was like, okay, what did she wear beforehand? Because I'm super suspicious. Hopefully, since her mom is like clearly a published doctor, hopefully she, you know, had enough money to buy her an entire new wardrobe. She probably dressed frumpy before, if that's, you know, the trope we're going for.
Absolutely. And it's just trope after trope. Like, yeah. Smallville is bad enough with the tropes, but I'm at a breaking point with all these tropes, show.
Right? And you're only at the beginning of season four.
I know. So Chloe and Lois kind of come in, and then we have our back and forth, which was what Charlie Harold mentioned in the companion, that Chloe is actually, hey, good for her. You know, the world is nicer to prettier people, and that's just the truth. And, you know, there is truth to that, right?
No, I agree. It's true. And that was the first time where I was like, okay, like, there are parts of this episode that'll probably be pretty trashy and predictable. But I appreciate that there was at least, like, both of them are right. Chloe's right about the world being nicer to pretty people, and Lois is right that high school is just totally fake.
Yeah, you're right. That had a glimmer of like, oh, is there actually going to be a conversation here?
Right.
Not really, but the fact that they threw it in there, like, I don't know if it makes it better or worse. Like, they were aware of it, and they addressed it just to move on from it. But at the time, I was like, oh, okay, because I like how they said, look, what she did isn't the problem. Maybe the reasons might be an issue, but, like, she has every right to do that if she wants to.
Yeah, and at first I was like, uh-oh, I immediately agreed with that. And then I had to analyze it. I'm like, no, I guess that's still true. Like,
and then we get our Nip Tuck reference, because in the trailer for this episode, did you watch the trailer that I sent to you?
Yes.
For this episode?
Yes, I did.
So this, and I had forgotten that,
blast
remember the show,
the
I know, right? Nip Tuck was like all the rage
it was.
Back in the day, right? It was the...
It was like the Game of Thrones. Everybody watched it.
Exactly, yeah. And I'll... Sex in the City, Nip Tuck, these were the shows back then. Now we've gone to Game of Thrones and Westworld, so at least society is moving in a positive direction. But, hey, you know Dr. Doom from the Fantastic Four movies, the ones from the early 2000s? He was in Nip Tuck. So that's all I know about Nip Tuck, is Dr.
Oh
Doom.
Oh, my God.
In it, so. And then Lois, as you mentioned, she says, it's all a facade, right? High school. So we got plus one
right.
for episode title, said in episode. But the episode was promoted as Crip Tuck, like kryptonite. I'm like,
oh my goodness, yes.
It's so bad.
It's so bad. Like, it that's like a dad pun, the worst sort.
Oh my goodness. So this is just, it's just in the inappropriateness. Here we go. The freaking grand slam, the full house of like problems I have with season four, right? And then we get Lana, who gets slipped a note from Jason Teague, who was her boyfriend in Paris, who has now moved here to be the assistant football coach at her high school. So she comes to his office so they can make out. And it's just so inappropriate.
It is. I was like, oh my God, teacher-student relationship. No, 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 no.
Now, they do. She's like, what if somebody finds us? Like I'd get detention. He's like, I'd get fired. And like, are we supposed to like root for them? Because this is wrong. Like, this is bad. Like, this is not good. This would not happen. And I know it stuff happens in like, I don't watch Riverdale, but apparently this happens in Riverdale all the time. I don't know.
Does it? Okay. I don't watch it either.
I don't. So, but I feel like in this age of like, there's a lot of this like student teacher relationship stuff going on these days. Like, maybe it's just reported more these days. Right. But I feel like this would not have been an acceptable plot line in the writer's room if this episode was in 2018 instead of 2004, in my opinion.
Oh, God, no. No, no. Someone, no. This wouldn't even have been suggested.
Even if he wasn't a teacher, he is an adult. So, she is 17. She is a minor.
So creepy.
You know? This is addressed later on this season. He does get fired, so...
Does he really?
He does.
Also,
yes.
I had no idea Jensen Ackles was in this show.
There you go.
So that was surprising for me.
This is where it started, Nancy. This is where it started.
Really? Okay. That explains a lot.
So if all you Supernatural fans have season four of Smallville to thank for your 14 seasons and counting. So, and you know what? Here's the thing, though. He's pretty charming as the goofy boyfriend, right? I like him.
Yes. No, I like him, too. By the end of this episode, I was like, he's okay.
You're okay. Yeah, he turns into a murderous psychopath by the end of the season, but hey.
Oh, no!
As you do on Smallville. So I know, right? So then Clark comes in because he wants to try for the football team.
Right.
And Lana's there, and she's like, well, happy to have you, coach. That's kind of funny because it's awkward, but again, it's very inappropriate, and I disagree with them setting it up this way.
Agreed.
Why didn't they make Jason Teague be missing some high school credits, and he could have... he could have been a student in Smallville High, right? Oh my gosh. Now, I will give them credit for setting up that he had some football history, because he said something about an old football injury in the season premiere. Mm-hmm. And then, well, if you've been watching the show, in the opening credits of the last two episodes, he's this football coach, and you're like, well, when does this happen? Because he is not the football coach until this episode, the third episode in. So they kind of played off how Lana's like giving him the tour of the school and all that. So Clark, being the big dumb alien, right, as we call him on Krypton site back in the day, the BDA, is completely oblivious to what's going on. Like, he thinks it's kind of weird, but he's like, oh, okay. So we've set up that Clark's going to come try it for the football team.
Yeah.
And then we get like the one like adult scene in this episode, and it's Martha talking to Jonathan.
Yes.
And apparently Lex is going to let Martha manage the talent. And I'm not going to lie, guys, I had 100% forgotten about this. Like, I don't know how long this lasts. I don't know if they do anything with this. I had no memory of Martha ever being working at the talent. That's how much I blocked out season four. But I like the discussion here between Jonathan and Martha, huh?
No, I definitely agree. Didn't she have a job before that? I feel like the last episode I was on, they were like having to kind of pick up her slack at home because she was working again.
Not the last one, but the one before that. Jonathan breaks his leg because she's off working. I'm always criticizing the show because I'm like, how do the Kents not have money? All right, because it's their family farm, right?
Right.
How are they always in debt? But they do mention these medical bills, and it's true, they're always going to the hospital. Jonathan was in the hospital like all summer for a coma, and they mentioned insurance. So like, I get why they need the money now. But it is interesting, like Jonathan says, like, why does it always have to be for the Luthers? Because the job Martha had previously was working for Lionel Luther, right?
So right. Yeah. Okay. That was funny. And then I was like, okay, is working at the coffee shop really gonna help in that respect? But then I thought that was too much thought.
Got that Luther money though.
Oh, I guess that's true. All right. No, I agree. I was like, oh, okay, is this actually going to come to have any sort of bearing on the rest of the episode? Okay, no. It was just that throwaway there.
This is to establish why Martha, I guess, is working at the talent in the next episode, I assume.
I guess so.
Oh boy. So then we get to Clark is suiting up for his football tryout, and Jason asks him for his permission slip. And Clark kind of just, I assume he like forged Jonathan's signature or something. I mean, we've all done that, right? Who has not forged their parents' signature on something at some point, right?
I've absolutely done that multiple times growing up.
So yeah. Jason kind of deduces that, you know, that Clark doesn't have permission from his dad, because he's like, what positions have you played, Clark? And he's like, none. My dad was not a fan of me playing football, which is the last thing you want to say after you've turned in a forged signature from your dad.
Right.
So this is when Jason really starts to get established as the poor man's Lex here, because he's like, oh, defying fathers, I'm kind of an expert. You know, I'm like, okay, we already had this with Lex, right?
Right.
So now we're doing this again, but whatever. So then Jason tells him to go get on the field, right? So then we have Clark trying out for football, and he's really good at it. Shot, like, he knocks a guy over with a pass, which is exactly what Jonathan was talking about. You know,
right.
Like, don't be doing that. Plus, are they going to let this guy who's never played football before play quarterback? I think not.
I mean, again, this is just a place for Clark to live out his fantasies, so, you know.
That's right. Speaking of living out your fantasies,
oh boy.
Abigail is jogging around, right, in this ridiculously inappropriate jogging outfit.
Right, like sports bra and shorts. I was like, oh, of course she is. Is she supposed to be in college or is she in high school? Like, which one is it?
It's senior year, Nancy, okay? Give him a break.
Oh, you're right. All bets are off.
The a lot of the people who have been making fun of her back in the day, and I didn't learn this guy's name till later in the episode, but apparently his name is Brett, which of course it is. Right?
Of course it is.
He's the one like, oh God, she's so hot. Bleh.
And Neanderthal.
So I know this is just so lowest common denominator of dialogue.
Yes.
Right? So apparently after football practice, and after she just ran, I don't know, like a mile, she goes to her locker and he goes to her locker, and he starts like, oh, I've been thinking about you and I want to apologize. And she's like, oh, okay. I mean, I kind of get it, right?
Yeah.
Because even though this guy's been terrible to her, like, she's wanted this acceptance, right? For like, right, to be desired and to be accepted. I don't know. Is it unrealistic that she would be like, oh, let's go make out somewhere?
I want to say that... No, I mean, I don't know. I think it could really go either way. But I feel like she obviously has had a lot of self-esteem issues. So even if in the back of her head she knows that this guy's treated her like crap and she really should not give him the time of day, I mean, it can be, I'm sure it is intoxicating when you don't have any attention and then you suddenly have lots of it. Especially at that age where you're stupid. I'm sorry if any listener is under the age of 19, but you're just young and stupid and that's just how it is. It's okay.
Although she could have done a lot better than Brett here, I think.
Dude, I know. I was just like, really? You could probably have anyone, and the first like worm to crawl over to your locker is who you decide to, okay.
The guy that gave you the nickname Scabby Abby, right?
Right. Well, and she calls him on that, doesn't she? Or
yeah,
something
and he's like
that.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Sorry. I love how he's like, who he tells her who she really is deep down is the most beautiful girl in school. Okay, dude.
Speaking of the most beautiful girl in school, I disagree. I'm more of a Chloe guy than a Lana guy. But Lana walks by.
Yes.
And sees them together, right? Again, this is like the convenience factor at 11, right? For the plot to happen later. So she walks by and sees Brett and Abby together.
Right.
And that's going to come into play later. But then they're like, you want to get out of here? Let's go somewhere more quiet. And I'm like, where are they going to go?
I started laughing right then because I think the music kicked in. And it like zoomed in on the boys' locker room sign, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's romantic.
So I don't understand. They went to the boys' locker room, right?
Yeah.
And it looked pretty empty in there during this scene, right? But then later on, when Clark is investigating with Lois, it's full of people that are getting undressed after football practice. Like, did they go? Maybe they went in there during practice, right? I can only assume.
If we're gonna throw them a bone, then sure, yeah.
I'm running out of bones to throw this show.
Especially this season. Sounds like my goodness.
But they go in there and you get the music and you get the really, it's trashy, guys.
Trashy. I was laughing so much though. I was enjoying the trash.
Like if I was sitting here watching it with my parents, I'd be so embarrassed. You know,
But also I was like, wow, this isn't the other episodes I've seen at all. This is like a hard tonal shift.
Thank you. And that's what I'm saying. There is undeniably a shift. And, you know, John Schneider, and I'll have to find the interview. He plays Jonathan Kent, obviously. He actually spoke out again about this at some point.
Really?
During season four. He's like, yeah, this used to be more of a family show. I'm hoping we get more back to that. And I'm like, you were so right, John Schneider. So anyway.
Oh my God.
They're getting all, you know, hot and heavy, right? But and she loses her necklace, which comes into play later. At least it did in the deleted scenes, and the actual episode it really doesn't. But anyway, she kisses. They start kissing each other, and you see this transference of something. I don't know how else to describe it, but it's like you just green veins that go into bread here. And then she feels something, and he's like, did you feel that? He's like, oh, yeah, I did.
I laughed so much. That was the appropriate dialogue.
That's well done, Joe. Exactly. Anything else? But that would have been a disappointment. But he looks in the mirror, and he starts freaking out because he sees his face, like, decomposing.
Yeah.
And some really bad early 2000s CGI, I might add. And so nothing physical is happening to him, but it's all... Yeah. Mental, which is just whatever, right?
Yes. I was at first, I don't know what I expected. At first I thought she was gonna like eat him or something.
That was the other episode you were on.
It was. And I was just like, well, okay, but then she started to seem really upset. I'm like, oh, okay, it's not on purpose. Which at least is different. It's sort of not her fault.
At least it's different. So then we cut to Lois and she's you know, driving and arguing with the admittance people at Metropolis University. Lois, again, driving and on the cell phone. What a different time the show was made in, right? And then, of course, she says, could this day be any worse? Followed by hitting a man with a car.
So. Yeah, man, he really crunched up on the windshield before rolling back over the hood. I was like, oh my God, did she kill him? I was like, wow, this show really is different. He ended up not being dead, but
yes, they did mention that he's gonna be fine. They did mention that he's gonna be fine. Okay, but they go. Lois and Clark go and investigate the locker room, and
yes, of course,
and this is very Lois Lane to kind of go in there and talk to these guys, you know, and she's like, did you know Brett? He's the guy's like, not as well as I'd like to know you, which
yes.
is this is what high school. This is, at least they're capturing this correctly, right? This is how high school is.
Yes, absolutely. The complete failure of any sort of pickup line.
Oh, so good, but so bad. But then Clark, you know, does some investigating himself, and he finds Abigail's necklace in the shower drain. So he knows that something is afoot. And then 20 minutes into the episode here, Lex Luthor appears because, guys, remember, Lex Luthor's in this show. And he's going through Lana's mail at the Talon, as you do. She kind of calls him out on it, but he says, hey, it was addressed to the Talon. So solid defense. And she's ordered a stack of books about ancient symbols, right? Mm. And he's like, what's this all about? And she's like, oh, it's a school project, which is what Clark always tells Lex. So I love what he says. He says, must be the same project Clark's always working on, which is perfect, right?
Yes, that was good. Lex, I mean, he was only in this episode for a little bit, but it still made it a bit better.
Yes, so. Yes. And then you see the cover of one of these books, and it has the symbol that's on Lana's back. And you're like, what are the odds that this symbol would be on the cover of one of these books? So it's so contrived. But anyway, and you know what? And this scene cuts off, and I thought, oh, maybe there's an extension of this scene. No, there's no deleted scene. It's just
It just ended that way and moved on.
It's like, okay, how many minutes do we contractually have to have Michael in this episode for? Okay, we're good.
Right. I guess I'm not going to say a tramp stamp since it was technically above the tramp stamp area. But they lingered on it a little too long. I was like, okay, that's important. Got it.
I really like this next scene. And it's when Clark comes home and Jonathan's just standing out on the porch and he says, congratulations, Zordon Order. You made the football team. Just this is like disapproving dad. And John Schneider does a great job of it, huh?
Yes. No, I agree. I thought this was probably either this was my okay. No, there was another part later on that was my favorite because it was stupid. But this was definitely my favorite part because I thought that was, again, right? He perfectly elucidated what I had been thinking about earlier, where I was like, well, that doesn't really seem fair that you should play football. So thank you. Thank you, Jonathan Kent. I completely agree.
Yeah, as we were saying earlier, as you said, you know, he's like, you don't know where that line is. You know, Clue Scar's like, I'm never going to cross the line and use my powers. He's like, how do you, you're in the heat of the moment out there, you know? Right. Like I am 100% with Jonathan on this, and I guess we're supposed to be on Clark's side, but nah. I never was. Like, even in season one, I was like, no. And in season one, he wanted to play, let's say, make no mistake about it. Yeah. He wanted to play football because Lana was a cheerleader. Right.
Ooh,
and he wanted
right.
to be on the cheerleading squad. He wanted to be on the football team because they hang around with the cheerleading squad. And Lana's boyfriend was the quarterback of the football team. So, of course, he thought to himself, oh, if I'm on the football team, you know, et cetera, et cetera, that's how your mind works when you're a kid, you know. And that was fine because he was like 15 back then. Right? He didn't know anything. He still doesn't know anything, but he knew even less back then. So,
yeah,
the fact he's like, look me in the eye and tell me the one thing you don't think about high school is football. It's like, I don't know. Like, there's more to it than that. But I just, it was such a weird shift. Talk about a tonal shift in the show, right? It's the shift for Clark's attitude, because nowhere in the last 3 years after he kind of closed the book on the sports thing had he even thought about it, you know? And now he's like, it's the last thing he wants to do for senior year. It's like, oh, okay, I guess. So
yeah, anyway. I found that weird. And I was like, I'm with you, Jonathan. I don't understand where this is coming from. I find it weird. Like, it just doesn't fit with his character at all. Yeah, I wrote down, I want to play foosball, because that's really all it sounded like to me.
You play the foosball behind my back, Bobby!
Right? Yes, exactly.
So, Lana, and this was an interesting way to kind of tie in some of the plots, right? She goes to Dr. Fine, Abigail's mom, to have her tattoo looked at. I guess she's the Smallville, you know, resident plastic surgeon / tattoo remover. And it's interesting that there was no ink used to make this tattoo. That how she got the tattoo is still a mystery to us. We saw this big blinding light, and then she woke up with the tattoo. So we don't know how she got it. We don't know where it came from. But now we know that it was not made by traditional means. So there's a lot of mystery to it, right?
Ooh, okay.
And I do really like how the mom starts talking to Lana here. She's like, you go to school with my daughter, don't you? I never forget a face.
It's just like, oh my God, I wrote down crazy. She's crazy. And I was like, something bad is going to happen with this mom in the next like 5 minutes.
But then, right? She's like, especially not a perfect one. It's like, come on, show.
Lady.
We get that you're in love with Lana Smallville, but you know, it's like, you're just, yes. We get it. Lana
Abigail comes home and I'm just like, same, because the look on her face is one of like, awkward, like, fear. I'm like, me too. That's what this scene's making me feel.
Right. So and then, of course, Lana has to be like, oh, hey, how are you and Brett? I saw you together. And then, like, no, Lana, don't say that.
I was like, oh, no, you're falling into that trap that you just made for yourself. Yeah, oh my gosh. And the way that this mom turns on a dime was actually a little creepy. I respected it a little bit. She immediately just turns it on. She is so toxic. She's a horrible human being. Then she's telling her daughter, like, you don't want to go back to looking like that. It's like, oh my God, please just love your daughter the way she is. God. Yeah, I love how she's like, well, we'll have to take that one out. Like, yeah. Out the trash. I was like, whoa, wait, what? Lana? What? And then even Abigail's like, well, but she hasn't done anything to me. And mom's like, no matter. I was like, this is some, like, Cinderella's stepmother level of, like...
Exactly. This is Disney stepmother.
It is. It's like, oh, boy.
So true, right? Because, well, you know, Abigail says, like, what happened? Like, I kissed this guy, and she's like, well, that, you know, you were my first trial. There might have been some complications, but it sounds like they got what they deserved. So...
Great. I was like, oh, no, that's the wrong thing to take away from this.
No. It's like, you're learning the wrong lesson.
There was a small part of me that was like, she's kind of right, though. She's kind of right.
Shades of gray, people. So Jason, you know, the assistant football coach at Smallville High School, takes Lana, a student of Smallville High School, to a room in Smallville High School that no one knows about, apparently.
Oh, my God. It just gets worse.
And you know, they mention, like, I've never seen this room before. I'm like, yeah, we haven't either, because you just invented it for this situation. But so... You know, apparently since Lana came home early, they didn't get to celebrate her birthday. So he ties a bandana around her face and leaves. And I'm really curious to know what her surprise was going to be, because we never find out. You know? So he leaves the room. And then Abigail, I guess she was following Lana, because remember, no one's supposed to know where this room is. Whatever, right? Didn't think about that. Did you, writers? I did. So she's like, Jason, is that you? And Abigail doesn't say anything, right? And then she kisses Lana, which is the only way, I guess, she knows to how to use her power, so to speak.
Yeah.
Which is, this is in the trailer, and it's like, okay, you're clearly just trying to get some, like,
yes.
Look how risque we are. We got girl-on-girl action on Smallville. It's like, come
on. And especially then, I could see how that would be like, ooh, look at us, pushing the envelope.
Yeah, 2004, right? Heavily shown in the trailer, right? So then the mirror falls on her.
Oh, I laughed so much.
It
was just so cheesy. It was terrible.
It was so poorly. It's poorly executed, poorly blocked. Abigail says, I'm sorry, Lana. And she runs off. And that's the last we see of her, by the way, in this episode. Yeah. There's no deleted scene follow-up. There's just one line, which is so... after the fact, all right, such an afterthought, right, about what happens to her. We'll talk about it.
Oh my gosh, we don't see her again.
No. The mom really takes over here. So yeah, the mirror falls on Lana, and then she's like bleeding. Like, it's like the I don't know what this is, a hardcore mirror, I guess, because it shatters all over. She's covered in blood. Then we cut to commercial. We come back. We're at the hospital, so we have a +1 for hospital visits. And Jason is there. It's like, dude, keep a lower profile, right? You're an adult dating a student at your school, and you're, like, up on her in her hospital bed. And
for
again,
real.
Lex Luthor here to save the day. He's like, I guess I should probably cough to let you know I'm here.
Such a good line.
Oh, man. Lex, even in the worst episodes, you can count on Lex to deliver. So this is where him and Jason, quote-unquote, meet. Although in season 7, which is, like, the season of the retcon, it's established that the Luthers and the Teagues and all these other powerful families like the Queens and the Swans were all in the secret organization together called Veritas, and they were all friends as children. So I don't know how you explain this. I mean, Lex has had some memory loss recently and gone through a lot, and as you find out, Jason has ulterior motives, so maybe he's just playing a role, but they're supposed to meet here, but that's not the case. But anyway, I love how Lex basically tells Jason, like, yeah, I know what's going on here, but I'm going to let it be for now. Because he's like, it's very thoughtful of the school to send over a representative to check on her.
Oh, I laughed. And he's like, he said something like, "Oh, it's nothing." And Lex is like, "Oh, I doubt that."
And then he says, "Lana deserves the best. I hope you're it." So, but they're also, they're starting to ratchet up this like Lex is into Lana thing. And they were doing it at the end of the last season. And it continues, the show progresses. And I highly, highly, highly disagree with it. So another thing to not like about season four where they go with that. But anyway, we cut to Lois and she's at the torch doing some reporting. And I'm going to take a screenshot of this and share it on the social media because I want to see what like the what the website is for this plastic surgery place.
Oh yeah,
because she's reading all the stuff, and I didn't get a chance to read it in depth, but I read enough of it where I think it'd be funny to share, so I'll do that. But
yes, okay. Lois,
she signs up for an appointment, right? Because she's gonna get on the inside, right? So now Clark is going to visit Lana at the hospital, and good thing he didn't run into Jason or Lex, because that would have been awkward for everyone. And so he's outside, kind of watching her in her room, and then Chloe comes in, and this is when I realized, like, oh wait. Chloe could have been doing all the things Lois did in this episode.
Yes. Especially Little Miss exposition dump right here by the elevators.
Yeah. Yeah. She comes in like, oh, the serotonin levels and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, slow your roll, show. This is some serious pseudoscience and whatever. I like how they keep talking about it. And they're like, okay, well, if the serotonin levels are in these people, they could have transferred it through a kiss. If that happened for Brett, what happened to Lana? And they're like, oh, I don't know. Because clearly she wouldn't have kissed Lana. It's just funny how they kind of talk around that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I was like, wow, these are a lot of conclusions we're jumping to right here in the next, like, 2 minutes.
This is some Fox Mulder level of jumping to conclusions.
You were going to say that. Yes, I completely agree. I know, right? And you're like, where did you get that from? And then you think to yourself, oh, it must be the halfway point through the episode. They have to start wrapping it up.
Just go with it, Scully.
It's the conclusion. Yeah.
So Lois is at the plastic surgery place talking to Dr. Fine, and ridiculous, like that would be a red flag, period, that Lois is there talking about plastic surgery, right? Because Erica Durance is a beautiful woman and does not need to have any plastic surgery done, and she's there, like, if I were Dr. Fine here, I'd be like, okay, this
right, what's going on?
This is suspicious, right? So Lois being an idiot, right? Because it's funny when Lois is stupid, right, guys? Like, her tape recorder messes up while she's recording all this, you know?
Of course it does. At first I was like, wait, what? And I haven't heard that sound in so long that it took me a hot second to place it.
Why would her digital recorder make a noise like that?
Right, because it sounds like it's a tape.
Right. I had a mini tape recorder that way because I was in, you know, the newspaper back in the day.
Yeah.
And I had a mini tape recorder like that, too. That never happened to me, but I wasn't trying to expose, you know, plastic surgery rings and or whatnot. So and then she's like, I'm going to expose you. It's like, OK, just leave. Just don't stand there and tell her.
She had to have the last word. And as we saw, that did not turn out well for her.
Needle to the neck.
I was like, oh my God, she's going for the jugular. I can't decide if I love this lady or I'm terrified of her. That's one of the two.
Oh man. So
I was like, that's kind of what you get. You turned around to have the last word. Smart people don't do that. So here you are. And I was like, well, I'm just going to sit on my hands and wait for Clark to show up because that's how this show works. And I was not disappointed.
So meanwhile, Clark and Chloe have kind of deduced what's going to happen or what's going on here. And they see that Lois leaves a big post-it note about her appointment, right?
Oh, I laughed at that too.
which, by the way, establishes that it's Saturday. Okay.
Oh, we know what time it is now.
So,
okay.
But for some reason they went to the Torch office but anyway, on a weekend.
That's where all the research was.
Exactly. So Clark super speeds in. Luckily, this office has a monitor which shows you everything that's going on in the back office. And he sees that Lois is going to about to be stabbed by this Iron Maiden, as you put it. That's a perfect explanation. yeah. And then he super speeds in through the door. That's not suspicious at all. You know, the glass bursts and stuff. I guess it's cool, but it's completely unnecessary.
Right.
It's the Smallville equivalent of like when Superman, like in the old Superman show with George Reeves, he just burst through walls and stuff. It's like, okay, whatever.
You're like, he could have used a door. He had the ability. Yeah.
So he lifts the thing up, and I thought immediately, oh, there's going to be kryptonite, right?
Same. That's going to weaken him.
But then, like,
disappointed.
But he was fine for like the first 30 seconds. And it's like, was that thing made out of lead? Like, I guess it's a lead lion Iron Maiden. That makes sense.
You're already thinking too hard about it. And it was not lead because it was clear plastic.
It's transparent lead. It's the technology in this lab is amazing, let me tell you. So he picks it up, and of course he gets weakened, which works out because Crazy Lady hits him with like a fire extinguisher in the face.
She does. She whops him right upside the head.
But it's okay, though, because Lois Lane's going to kick her in the face and knock her out.
That was my favorite part because I was like, uh-oh, she's going to like stab her. No, Lois somehow turns like 180 degrees and like kicks her in the face and is like, bitch. That was my favorite part. That was absolutely my favorite part. Hilarious. I was like, oh, that was fast. Like, I didn't see it wrapping up that fast. Dang.
So bad it's good.
Yes. Oh, absolutely. That definitely crossed the line into so bad it's good.
It's like, it's turned into like a 90s action movie. It's like, bitch.
Oh, God, yes. And then I was, not for the first time, I was like, what is this show now? And I made a mental note to ask you because it seemed so screwed up to me. But now I know, based on what we've talked about. And like, now I know. Yeah.
You don't know Smallville until you've experienced season 4.
Clearly it's, not.
This is the show everyone thought Smallville was. Mm-hmm. And I was trying to tell people, no, guys, it's not like that.
You're like, this isn't it.
Bitch.
Bitch. It was so funny. Golly, I laughed. That was very gosh. Fun.
Oh, so good.
Unexpected.
Yeah, because it's like because she knocked her out once, and the fact that she knocked out her again with the like ridiculously angled kick to the face, just
yes.
Amazing. Amazing. Oh boy. So then then we get Lana and Jason, and they're talking about Lana's, I guess she's fine now. And she's still kind of cut up from the mirrors, but other than that, she tells Jason that when she was a freshman year, she was on the cheerleading squad, and it was her whole identity. And I want to be like, actually, you quit after episode 3, but that's fine, whatever.
But okay, yeah, have it your way, Lana.
And then she questions, like, all the times you tell me I'm beautiful, is that just because I look that way? And so what did you think of this whole conversation? Because this is actually a good conversation, like in theory.
No, absolutely. I was like, I was ready with every sentence to dislike that entire interaction. But I was like, aw, that is super nice of him to be like, no, I love you for everything I can't see in a mirror. And I was like, aw, that was the right response.
And then he even says that he's like, that's good. I'm going to write that down for later. So that kind of stuff is what makes me like Jason at this point.
Me too.
Kind
at of the end of the episode for that, I agree. I was like, okay, you're all right. You're saying the right things, or at least his heart seems to be in the right place.
Yeah, for now. But
I mean, wow. Yeah. Okay. You've really piqued my interest again. I'm curious how this guy turns into whatever he turns into.
It's not well done at all. So,
but is it funny? See, that's the real question.
It's not as funny.
No.
Nothing tops what we just experienced in this episode. So,
oh my goodness. Okay.
So then Clark comes home and I guess he's late, and Jonathan's like the ultimate passive aggressive, like,
oh my gosh, I know, right?
Guess practice ran a little late, huh, son? So I do like what he tells him here, though, because he's like, well, Clark, I get that you're, you know, senior year of high school. If you want to be treated like an adult, you got to start acting like one, you know? And you don't go off and make decisions without consulting. And I this is a good parenting moment, I think, for Jonathan.
I agree. Yeah, no, I liked him the entire episode. And I don't know if that's just because we're older. I wondered to myself, I'm like, would I feel the same way about Jonathan Kent if I was like, you know, watching this in like 2004? I want to say maybe.
I did, because I just, again, I didn't like that whole idea of Clark playing football. And as you said, it doesn't fit with his character.
It really doesn't at all. But I guess he's set on being stubborn and, you know, making his own decisions. Okay.
Now, if he had joined marching band, that would have been something else, right, Nancy?
Oh my God! Then he really would have been a dork. That would have been great.
Now, so then he points out to his dad that, like, look, you can let some assistant coach from Metropolis teach me football, or are you going to do it? And he's like, all right, go along, right? So
yeah,
he throws his long pass. Clark catches it. Then he dunks it into the basketball goal. I'm like, Clark, clearly you don't know how to have the rules of football.
No. Just because you can doesn't mean you should.
It's like, okay, first of all, son, that's basketball. All right. That's
I thought for sure that was the end of the episode, and I thought that's a nice thing to end it on. No, we had to end just this next bit.
Yeah, this next bit. So Lois is reading. She made the front page of the Torch with her expose.
Oh my God.
And
she ruined Abigail's life by incarcerating her mother.
Well, you say that, right? Because Chloe comes in and is like, hey, look, Lois, isn't this great? You're reading your headline. You got all this fan mail. People say it changed people's lives, you know? And Lois is like, oh, wow, I guess journalism really can make a difference. And,
oh my God.
And then Lois asks Chloe, what about Abigail? And Chloe says, quote, yeah, she'll be back next week. Okay.
Yeah. I was like, wow, that was the only cool. I'm glad that we could use this poor girl's like image issues and, you know, as just like a crappy crutch for our stupid plot. That was sort of made me sad at the end that she got like zero resolution.
Well, and that's why I'm disappointed that they cut the Clark scene with her earlier, because it just kind of shows her like, oh, you have football. I have this. We each kind of have to find our thing, you know, because, you know, there's nothing wrong with what she did. Her mom was the crazy one. And apparently, is she going to go back to looking the way she did before? I don't know. When Lois was talking to Crazy Mom, it was apparently like, you just come in once, right? But I don't know. Maybe that's a bad sales tactic, right? She has to keep coming back. So I don't know. You're right. And of course, we never hear about this character again. And it's a sad end to a tragic character who just got like used by her evil mom.
I know. It's the worst. Felt so sorry for her.
This scene here is why... I thought the showrunners had a serious problem with Chloe. Like, I feel like somebody named Chloe broke these guys' hearts, because they're like, you know what? We're going to write a character named Chloe, and we're just going to do the worst things to her. You know, we're going to like stab her in the heart and twist that knife, right? Because we get Avril Lavigne's
Oh My God.
So Much for My Happy Ending. I guess that's the name of the song.
It is.
So
this song started playing, and I was like, this can't really be playing right now.
Oh, so much for my happy ending.
Like, I was like, who is this song about? And then literally, like, the closing shot is the chorus with Chloe. I'm like, oh.
Because let's remember here, you know, so I'm a Clark shipper, C-H-L-A-R-K, back in the day. I like the Clois theory, C-H-L-O-I-S theory, back in the day, where Chloe would become Lois Lane, right? So in the span of three episodes, Lois Lane has appeared on the show, which means Chloe's not going to be Lois. We go from Lana to presumably Lois now, so Clark's never going to give it to Chloe, right? And then at the end of this episode here, they're like rubbing your face in it, right? Because Clark, it's a bookend of some kind to the first scene where when Lana was in the dunking booth, now Clark's in the dunking booth. And,
yes.
And Lois is the one. Lois is a lefty, by the way, which surprised me. I'll have to keep an eye out for that. She throws the football with her left hand.
There's no way they're going to remember that.
You know, interesting fun fact, Craig Biggio, Hall of Fame second baseman for the Houston Astros, my favorite baseball player of all time.
Yeah.
Batted and fielded right-handed for the Astros. Everything else he did in life, he did left-handed.
Really?
It's crazy, because you know how like unique left-handed people are in baseball, where it's like, dude, you should have like stayed left-handed. You know, he couldn't have played second base. But, I mean, he was a catcher, and then he was a second baseman, outfielder, so... I always find that a fun fact. I like to bring it up, and I thought it was a good time to bring it up here.
That's
so,
really cool.
Ask Travis if he knows that. I bet he knows that. But anyway.
Oh, I'm sure he does. Yeah, I'll ask him.
Yeah, I'll keep an eye on if Lois is a left-hander in the future. But, you know, she hits the bullseye. Clark goes in the water. She runs up to him. They kind of messes up his hair, and they're kind of like becoming friends, you know, because they had this antagonistic relationship up to this point. But they're going to be married in the future, right, guys? So they have to hate each other now, because that's how prequels work. But then you see like Chloe, and she's like, "Whoa, what? Wait a minute! Why is my cousin getting sparks over here with the man I'm in love with and have been in love with for the last 4 years? What has happened? This is awful. So much for my happy ending," right? And I'm like, God, show, could you hit the nail on the head any further and put the stake in Chloe's heart any further from this last? It's like you're supposed to root against Chloe here. I don't get it.
Which I refuse to do, because Chloe's such a fun character. Yeah, no, from the minute I saw Lois, I was like, okay, this seems like a mischaracterization. I mean, I dimly remember watching, like, The Adventures of Lois and Clark?
The New Adventures of Superman.
So sorry. There we are. Okay, I definitely remember watching that. And from what I have just generally gleaned of Lois Lane, this isn't her at all. So I was like, well, I already don't really like her. in the show, and then from my limited perspective. And then when I realized she was supposed to be Chloe's cousin, but then she's competing for Chloe's dream man, I really don't like her now. So I don't hate her, but I'm just like, what are you guys doing?
Exactly. Like, who are we supposed to root for here? Like, I don't know. Chloe has been here for 3 years, right? And then you're just going to bring this character on and like steal her plot line, right? And then
you're sending a lot of mixed signals just because her name is Lois Lane.
Yeah, and they're cousins too, which makes it even weirder, you know? So anyway, but, you know, Lois does, and I agree with you, in this episode and especially moving forward for the next few seasons, Lois really isn't Lois Lane. Now, season 8, they finally let Lois be Lois Lane. And I love Lois Lane on the show from seasons 8, 9, and 10 because they let her be Lois Lane. But they didn't know what to do with two Lois Lanes, basically. And that caused the problem. And this ending really rubbed me the wrong way back in the day. And even now, I'm like, what, as you said, what are you doing, show? Like, what are you doing?
Like, who is this episode for? Right? Because it's not the people who've been watching so far.
We're going to get that. We get that new younger demographic.
I don't know how to tell you this without sounding really stuck up.
I already know you're stuck up. In fact, I wanted to talk to you about that.
Hey, you're funny.
Yeah, and cute, huh?
Okay, Jason, look, I'm being serious.
All right.
Back in freshman year, I made the cheerleading squad. And that was my whole identity. Putting on the face that I thought everyone wanted to see. Keep thinking of all the times that you've told me that I'm beautiful. And I can't help but wonder how much of me you really see.
Well, I tell you, you're beautiful because of who you are, not because of what I see. You're the girl I flew halfway across the world to be with. The girl who kicks a crap out of me at Xbox, thinks it's hysterical. I mean, I've seen you with a stomach flu where your eyes are puffy and your nose is running, you're yakking.
Okay, I get the picture.
All I'm saying is, the reasons I love you, it's not something you can see in a mirror. That's good, I'm gonna write that down and use that later.
Facade got an 8.1 out of 10 on IMDb, and Neil Bailey from the Superman homepage gave it a 4 out of 5. And I have never been so far out of alignment with these scores than I am in this episode.
Nancy, wow, I just rolled my eyes when you read those.
So on the letter grade scale, Nancy, what would you give Facade?
Okay. I'm going to give it 2 scores.
Okay.
The first score is how much did I enjoy watching it, which doesn't actually comment on the quality of it. It's just, did I enjoy watching it? Which this one had so many troublesome things that I really highly enjoyed watching it. I'll give it a very high B because I laughed out loud multiple times and I had a hard day today, so I needed that.
Okay.
However, quality-wise, I don't even remember what I rated the last episode. I feel like this one is probably a D. It may fail, but I'm going to reserve judgment. As I mean, you say this is the worst episode so far, but like, are there worse episodes?
I'm curious to find out. I thought there might be, but after watching it now, I don't think there are. So
you don't think so?
So you're going to give it B for enjoyment and entertainment value. Good. I'm glad this could bring some light into a dark day for you. I think that's not too dramatic, but put a smile on your face.
It was very
a hard day. There you go.
Yes, it was.
Some light in the darkness. So you're going to give it a D. I'm going to give it a D minus.
Nice. Okay. Is that the first time we've agreed?
That's a great point because I think usually our scores are a little further apart. You know,
yes.
But these are, when they're in the same letter range, that's new for us. Cause obviously, we have such different perspectives on the show because I've lived and breathed this, and you're new to the show, so you're gonna have a different.
Yeah.
And that's why I love talking to you about it, because you're like, what is this? What is going on? this isn't the show you had me watch before. So
yeah,
this is. No kidding, guys. This is the lowest score I've given an episode, and it might stay that way. I don't think I would ever give an episode an F, right? Because,
yeah.
Because I mean, like, an episode of television was produced, so I give him credit there. Like, there are no clip shows in Smallville, you know? If they were ever lazy enough to give us a clip show, I'd give it an F, because that's like, come on, guys. It's not even a full episode, so.
Right.
But yeah.
B-minus, though. We're close to an
well,
F.
Because think about it. I think the first third of this podcast is me just ranting about this, and that. Like,
yeah.
This is like the exhibit A of why I do not like season four. Because we have the Lana tattoo stuff. You have Lana and Jason, which is inappropriate. Not only because he's an adult and she's a minor, but he's a teacher and she's a student, right?
Right.
We have this ridiculous, you know, plastic surgery plot with the whole, like, trope of, like, oh, the ugly duckling girl, right? then we have Lois Lane, who they turned into a joke. She didn't graduate high school. She can't work a tape recorder. like, it's just like, and then she's stealing Chloe's man here, you know? So it's like, there's so many things that I don't like.
This episode definitely felt like bad fanfic.
And Lex, I gotta say, for the episodes that Lex Luthor actually appears in, I'd be curious to know his actual screen time. I feel like this is the least screen time Rosamond's Lex has had in any episode up to this point. And there's your problem right there. Lionel's not even in the episode. Right.
True.
So your Luthers are always your savior, right? And and they're barely in it. So, yeah. D for
you.
D minus for me. Let's go down the tally board. We have a plus one for episode title, said in episode, because Lois says facade. So that brings us to 25. And then we have a plus one for hospital visits, because Lana goes to the hospital. And that brings us to 49.
Oh my God!
Hospital visits.
So,
this is the 69th episode of the show.
Oh wow!
And we've been to the hospital 49 times. So you know, and just to contextualize for you, because I know you haven't seen every episode.
Yeah.
I count, like, if multiple characters go, I count those two, right? So there's some episodes where, like, two characters have gone, or, you know, maybe even three. Sometimes I don't recall off the top of my head, but so it's very possible that we. I'm really hoping we catch up at some point. Like, at this pace, we probably will. So, but hey, exciting news, guys. This episode passes the Bechdel test.
Yay!
We have multiple scenes with Chloe and Lois talking. We have Abigail and her mom, even them talking past the Bechdel test. So, so that is one thing about Lois being a more constant presence on the show. Now we're going to be passing the Bechdel test a lot more. So,
yes.
And hey, what an episode, right?
What an episode. How ironic that this is the one that passed the Bechdel test.
Well, Nancy, that was a lot of fun. Again, you bring a unique perspective to this, and I enjoyed talking to you about this stuff. So so thanks for putting up with some of Smallville's worst here with me tonight.
Oh, absolutely. You know what? I didn't realize that it was going to be such a weird shift. Normally, I sit down, and I feel like the characters have been relatively the same, or their development makes sense. I definitely was like, is this the right season? I even backed out to make sure I wasn't further down.
So, wait,
the season list.
Is this Charmed? Is this the right show?
Oh my gosh, it did sort of feel that way though. I was like, wait, am I in season four? I hope I didn't like accidentally click something else. No, okay, I am in season four. No, this was good. I knew immediately why you wanted me to be on this episode. But those are my favorite things because, like the state of feminism in the early 2000s just was so confused.
They thought they were doing good, though. You know,
I know. That's what I like about it. It's like, oh, your heart was in the right place. But, like, you know, hindsight's 2020, right? But it's just so funny. A girl can do whatever she wants, even if she's 17 and wants a rhinoplasty. And you're like, no, I don't think that's the right message.
Oh, boy. Well, Nancy, if people want to find you out there on the internet, where can they find you?
I am over on Twitter at Dasmoosh, Dasmoosh. I've tried to get back into Twitter a little bit more, but school keeps me kind of busy. But Twitter is the best place to reach out to me.
All right. Well, as for me personally, you can find me on Twitter at MoronZach. That's MoronZach. I'm also the host of another podcast, Standard Orbit, on the Trek FM podcast network. You can find us on Twitter at Trek FM. And as for the podcast here itself, you can find us on Twitter at AlwaysMallville with one S. You can find us on Facebook at Always Sold on Smallville, or you can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com, once again with one S. Well, from one bad high school plot to another, that's going to do it from us this week, but we're going to be back next week with Devoted. But until then, always hold on to Smallville.